All right, I'd like you to find your place with me in the book of Exodus chapter 30 tonight. Exodus chapter 30. This is our Old Testament book we're studying through together. We've come to chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. Chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. We preached all the way down through verse number 10 on Sunday evening on the altar of incense. By the way, I had these prepared. Miss Brenda prepared these for me, and I forgot to put them out, so they're available tonight. These pictures that I've been giving to you to take home to kind of put a visual in your minds. This is a picture of the altar of incense, kind of what it would look like. So these are available out on the Welcome Center. If you're keeping some of those, then that's available for you tonight on your way out. Exodus chapter 30, verse number 11 and following. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. I want to draw your attention to the title of my message in verse 16. It's the three words, the atonement money. The atonement money. I preach to you on that title tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach, the privilege to be here. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, clear our minds, our hearts, and help everything to be completely focused on you and your word. Challenge us, convict us, comfort us. Thy will be done. We love you tonight. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage before us in Exodus chapter 30, as we're just preaching verse by verse, so to speak, through this book, it has to do with the offering that the Lord demanded for those 20 years older, those 20 years and older to give. These were obviously males and so on. This was an offering given unto the Lord for atonement, the Bible says. The word atonement is a powerful word. This word atonement means, now get this, just let this sink in, because if you have been saved, you have been atoned, okay? And here's what the word atonement means. It means to cancel. It means to appease. It means to cleanse, disannul, forgive, be merciful, to pacify, to pardon, to purge, to put off, to reconcile. When you consider this word, a good way to look at it and to explain what it means is looking at the way it's spelled and breaking it apart. It says atonement, but if you break it this way, at one ment. That's how it's spelled, at one ment. That's what this word means. It means when two opposing people are brought together to agree. One man said the same Hebrew word translated atonement signifies also covering over, appeasing, forgiveness, reconciliation, expiation, disannulling, ransom or redemption, satisfaction and cleansing. It's a beautiful word, beautiful word. Now get this, what an awesome thought it is that sinful man can be at one with God. Now let this sink in with you. What an awesome thought that sinful man who's broken God's holy law can be atoned for in the presence of the all-holy God. What an awesome thought that sinful man can be brought together in agreement as one with God by means of a set price being paid that was demanded by God. Now this atonement and the money that was paid that God demanded, it's going to cost that much for every person. This is what's on display in these verses that I read for you tonight. Now, even though this passage deals with pieces of money for atonement, this money, this silver, points us to a greater sacrifice that atones for the sin of mankind. This money for atonement, these pieces of silver that it costs the same for every individual, rich and poor, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. This money was made of silver, as I've already said. And silver has the idea of price and value. Speaking of silver, one man said, "It corrodes not, it wastes not in the fining pot, though subjected to the intense heat of the furnace." What a picture of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that is shed to atone for our sin. It is silver. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't waste. Even when it's subjected to the intensest heat and the hottest furnace, it's still pure. It's still valuable. It's still priceless. Romans 5:11 says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We've received the atonement through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:2 says, "And He is the propitiation." Guess what the word propitiation means? It means atonement. Look it up. "And He," Jesus, "is our propitiation." He's our atonement for our sins. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or atonement for our sins." Thank God for the atonement that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, we can, now get this, without the atonement that's pictured here now, without this atonement that's found in Jesus Christ, there's no way man can be at one with God. Only by the blood of Christ can sinful man be brought in agreement with an all-holy God. Now this being the case, 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, atoned, bought with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, as we consider the atonement money that pictures man needs to be atoned before God, and there's a price that must be paid for that atonement to take place to make man at one with God, I want to meditate on this thought, and I want to give you four things about it. Four things tonight about the atonement money. As you think about this money that had to be paid, demanded by God, it was a price that God said it must be a half of a shekel. He set the standard for it. He didn't leave it to man how much was to be paid. He was the standard. He said it was going to cost this much, and it must come to Him so man could be atoned with Him. Man could be at one with Him. As we think about this, let me give you four things. Number one, we see, first of all, the significance of the atonement money. Now, we see this in verses 11 and 12. Now, since I've already read those verses, when I reference the verses, if you want to go back and just be reading them while you're listening to me, this may make sense to you. The first thing the Lord pointed out to me in my study in these verses about the atonement money is how significant it really was for the children of Israel. Now get this. Looking at verse 12 brings out the reason why this atonement money was significant, why it was essential, why it was important, vital, non-negotiable, fundamental, so to speak. See, the standard of this offering was given by God. The Lord told them, "This is what I demand for atonement." But notice what He said in verse 12. He says here, now get this, it says, let me just go ahead and read this verse. "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them." Here's the significance. "That there be no plague among them." Now you say, Jody, what are you saying? God said this. There's a beautiful picture here. God says, I want a half a shekel of silver from every man, 20 years and older. Whether they're poor, whether they're rich, makes no difference. It's the same amount I want from every person. They need it for atonement. They need it for a ransom. This is what I demand for them to be atoned with me. And he says this, if they don't bring it, like I said, there will be a plague. What's he saying? In other words, if they do not bring it according to the will of God, judgment would come. Do you see this? The point is, this atonement money was not up for debate. It was to be brought in order that the plague would not be among them. Now, friends, if you don't know how to apply this to Jesus Christ, you've got mental problems, okay? What an application to the truth of the atonement for our souls through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The significance of being atoned for is shown in the fact that it is the only God-ordained way for man to be atoned today. The atonement through the blood of Jesus Christ is not an option. It is not, let me think about it. It's not up for debate. It's not up for, well, maybe there's many. No, God had one way back in this day for them to be atoned. It was half a shekel of silver. God told them that. If they brought more than that, a plague would come. If they brought less than that, a plague would come. If they didn't bring it at all, a plague would come. It must be according to the will of God. God's plan for sinful man today is that without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And he says this, if you accept his atonement, then it's forgiveness. It is atonement. But if you reject his one and only way, judgment will come. The atonement of Jesus Christ is not an option. It's an essential. It's a fundamental. And to not have it is to be judged by God. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 2, 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through him, not him and something else, but through him and him alone. Romans 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 3, 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Number one, we see the significance of the atonement money. God demanded it, and if they did not submit to it, it was a plague, it was judgment. In the same way, he has demanded for sinful man to come to him through Jesus Christ. Anybody who tries to get to him any other way and to be atoned, made at one with him any other way, there's going to be a spiritual plague for all eternity. It's judgment. That's the significance of it. They had to have it. Number two, we see the sameness of it. Now that's a word that's kind of strange. It just means it was the same, okay? That is a real word. I looked it up, all right? The sameness of the atonement money. We see this in verses 12 to 15. You don't have to read it, but if you'd like to, you'll see what I'm talking about. In these verses, we see the Lord telling these people that the atonement money was to be the exact same for every one of them. Everyone that was numbered was to bring a half a shekel. Now notice verse number 15 says, the rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. The point here is the money for the atonement did not change from person to person. Rather, it was the same amount for each individual. The same price was demanded for the rich and for the poor. There was not one payment for one and another payment for somebody else. They all must submit to the payment demanded by the Lord to be paid for their sin. What another beautiful picture of the atonement found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful picture. God demands a blood sacrifice of a spotless lamb to atone for sin, and it was accomplished in the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The point here that the sameness of the atonement money is this: every man's sin has the same price. And every man's sin can be covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This payment is the same for every person. It never changes. It is the same and it is sufficient. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, we all owe the same thing to God. And Jesus has paid that price. We see in these verses that both the rich and poor would be atoned by the same amount. This goes to show that the price the Lord Jesus Christ paid is sufficient for all mankind, no matter who they are. I like what the Life Application Study Bible says, King James Version, I like this. With the rich is not to pay more, and the poor is not to pay less. Here's how the Life Application Bible says it. Boy, I thought it was appropriate. There's no way the rich can buy off God, and there's no way the poor can avoid paying. That's a powerful statement. God's saying this: your money does not, it doesn't impress me, rich people. My price for you is the same. Don't try to outdo it. But if you're poor and think that I'm just going to shrug my shoulders because you don't have anything, you don't have what the rich people have, my demand for you is the same as a rich person. You can't get out of paying it, and you can't pay me off. Powerful, friends. This is what the Word of God is teaching. The rich were not included among the redeemed because of what they had, and the poor were not excluded from redemption because of what they lacked. Redemption was put within the reach of all. A person who fails to be saved is left without excuse. This is what he's picturing here. Number one, we have noticed the significance of it. They had to have it, or there was no atonement. Number two, the sameness of it. It wasn't this amount for that person or that. No, it was the same amount for every person, rich and poor. Number three, we notice the stress of the atonement money. And I'm not talking about stress as in worrisome. I'm talking about emphasis. This word, this atonement money stresses something. It emphasizes something. In verses 12 to 15, along with the offering being the same for each one and being equally significant for everybody, these verses show the emphasis or the stress of the atonement money. Get this now. The stress of it was on the individual. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Notice the language in verse 12. In verse number 12, you'll notice these words: when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give, notice the next two words, every man, notice this now, a ransom for his soul. Skip down to verse number 13 and 14. This shall they give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one, verse 14, that passeth unto them that are numbered. Everyone, every man, his own soul. The emphasis here, the stress here, is on the individual. It stresses every single person's need to be atoned. Every individual has a need. And every individual has a choice. The need is we need to be atoned. That's why nobody was exempt. Rich and poor were sinners, and God knew it, and that's why he demanded a price for both of them. But he also gave them a choice. Bring it, you'll be blessed and atoned. Don't, you'll be plagued. I get sick of God being blamed for people rejecting Jesus Christ. I get sick of it, friends. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the teaching that teaches that God has ordained some for salvation and some he ordained for hell. That is not the God I serve. I'm telling you that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to atone for the sin of the world. And to make God out into somebody that created somebody only to send them to hell makes God a monster, if you want to know my opinion. I'm telling you tonight that God stresses the individual. He says this, let every man do this for his own soul. Let everyone bring. And the stress here is that they all need to understand something. If their neighbor brought it, it did not cover them. If their mom brought it, if their dad brought it, if their brother brought it, if their sister brought it, every individual had to make the decision to bring the atonement money and offer it to God. It's not enough that someone you know has been atoned for. Praise God for it, but that's not enough for you. You have to personally be atoned yourself. The Word of God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's why we all need atonement, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Romans 10:9, making it personal, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. By the way, makes no difference who you are. Makes no difference if you're rich or poor. Verse 15, God loves the individual and he desires for the individual to accept his atonement for their sin. His atonement is sufficient for every individual. He's an impartial God. Let me say this to you. I salute you because I believe that this church is a church where every person on planet Earth would feel welcome. At least it ought to be that way. And I believe it is that way. If it's not, shame on us. Shame on us. But may I say this to you? A lot of times when a preacher preaches this way, people automatically start going to people who live in the slums and the lowest of the low. But friends, let me say something to you. God emphasizes the rich and poor in this passage. Do you realize that a church like this can get so, excuse me now, we're for the bus ministry. You know that. We wouldn't be running if we weren't. But you understand that we can get so focused on the bus ministry that we forget those who are living in the mansions? God wants them both. He desires both. And what I'm saying to you here is that every individual matters to God. They do. You know what that means? That means you do too. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing to realize God loves the world, but friends, He loves you as an individual. He really does. This is the point I'm trying to get across here. The stress of this was on the individual. Let him bring it. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, believers vary in knowledge, gifts, and graces, but they are all redeemed with the same price. The meanest believer was bought with the same blood as the chief of the apostles. The poor, the obscure, the faulty, the illiterate are as dear to the heart of Jesus as the richest and most gifted saint. What a sweet thought, he said. Here's the true equality. His righteousness is unto all and upon all that believe, for there's no difference, the Bible says. Let us all equally bless and love the Lord by whose blood we are equally redeemed. May I say this to you? You say, who does God love? Every single individual on planet Earth. Everyone. You mean the one who is... The deepest, worst sinner. I mean the worst thing you can imagine. You mean he loves that? Yes, God loves that individual. He created that individual. What that individual's doing is not God's fault. They're disobeying God. They're a sinner. But God loves them. That blesses my heart. I should love them too. Do I always? Probably not. Kind of hard to love somebody who wants to kill you. You all right? In your flesh, or molesting children, or things. I mean, it's kind of hard. In the flesh, you're like, just let them get what they deserve, but not God. That's not God. God said, I'll save that person just like I saved you, Jody. If they will come to me with the price that I demand. Do you see this? Do you get this? The stress is on the individual. Makes no difference who they are. Galatians 3:28 says, for there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. There's no difference. If we're not careful, we think there's a difference between people. God says there's no difference. There's no difference. That means you cannot talk to the wrong person about Jesus Christ. That means you cannot knock on the wrong door. You cannot give the wrong person an invitation to open house. Because every single individual is loved by God, and God wants to atone them if they will just submit themselves to the atonement. This is the stress of the atonement money. Then fourth and final tonight, I want to give you the service of the atonement money. This atonement money had a purpose. And it's found in verse number 16. The Lord told him to take the atonement money, notice now, and it said, and appoint it for the service, that's where I get service, for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial. Now, in this statement, I see a twofold service that the atonement money had. Now, to this point, we've been talking about the blood atonement, blood atonement, blood atonement. I'm going to change gears here because there's a little bit more of an emphasis here on the forbidden word in Scripture, and that is money. Do you understand that God, do you understand, if my memory serves me correct, one-fifth of the Bible, somewhere close to that, speaks somehow about money. And there are preachers who are so intimidated to preach on money. When I'm preaching through a book, bring it on, God. Because the fact of the matter is, this is not what I say, it's what He says. And right here's something I want you to think about your giving to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what you give. I don't check the records. I don't know if you give, you don't give. I don't know how much you give or how much you don't. May I say this to you? A preacher should never preach on giving to get money. A preacher should preach on giving out of obedience to God. And if God's people obey, God will bless that individual and God will bless that church. I mean, I say this to you, what I'm preaching to you applies to me. Applies to me. You can take my word for it, but if you're a member, you have a right to ask, and ask away. Does your pastor give to this church? Does your pastor and his wife tithe? Do they give to missions? Do they give to the other's offering? Ask. Ask. Help yourself. Because I'm telling you one thing, I'm not preaching that you ought to do this. I'm saying we ought to do this. It applies to me. I want to give you this twofold purpose for this atonement money. We've been focusing on the first 3 points on the atonement. You see what I'm saying? Now I'm changing on point four and looking at the atonement money. Let's look at the money. What was the purpose of the money? First of all, it said it was for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. It was for the service of the tabernacle. What does that mean? The tabernacle was the house of who? It was God's house. And it's where God was served. One man said this way, the price set for the atonement was appointed for the sockets of the sanctuary. It was made of silver. You put all this together. This silver went for the sockets of the sanctuary, the chapiters, the fillets, the hooks of the courtyard, fence and gate. The money they brought gradually became an annual fee for the support of the priestly ministry among God's people. Get this. This silver, this atonement money that was brought by God's people, those who were atoned, they brought this money of the atonement, and that's what built the house of God. The house of God was built on the funds of the redeemed. It's a beautiful picture here. The service of God's house was carried on by the offerings of the redeemed. The work of the church today is dependent on the gifts of those who belong to the Lord. Friends, the point here is God's tabernacle was to be maintained and built upon the money brought as an offering by God's atoned people. They weren't giving to a person. They were giving in thanksgiving to God. Don't you see that? They were bringing it out of respect for God's demand, realizing that He's atoning me. I can't believe He's atoning me. And He's going to use what I'm bringing and build His house with it. What a beautiful picture for us who have been atoned to bring our substance and our offering to God to maintain His house. It's a blessing, get this now, it is a blessing to be able to give back to God who has so freely given to us. It's a privilege and honor to be able to bring an offering for the house of God today. It really is. Friends, I'm not saying this to get an offering in this church. You precious people are giving and giving and giving and giving. If you're not, you ought to start. If you are, you ought to keep going. I'm not doing it to get offerings. I'm just trying to tell you this is a good thing. This is God's will. God doesn't want you to give to the offering and it hurt you. He wants you to realize, compared to the price I paid for you, a half a shekel's not too much. Don't you see that? I'm just bring me a half a shekel. What's that compared to what they got in the tabernacle? I mean, their sins were atoned for there. God's presence was dwelling among them there. And God used what they brought to help build His house. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a service. What a privilege. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. I've not studied that verse out, but here's how it strikes me. Every man according as God as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. But don't let him give grudgingly. Don't let him say, well, I've got to give, but I can't believe this. Now, I've never heard somebody say that out loud when the offering plate's going by, but there's probably been some people shouting it loud in their heart. I'm giving because I know it's right, but I don't want to, man. God says, listen, if that's your attitude, it's not pleasing to God. And He said, you shouldn't give out of necessity either. What's that mean? To me, what that means is, well, we just have to have it. We need it. No. God says, here's how I want you to give. I want you to give with a smile on your face. I want you to give with a heart full of gratitude, saying, you mean I get to give back to God? This is the first service. Second service is it was for the service of the tabernacle, but number two, it was for a memorial unto them. It's all found in verse 16. One commentator said, either the people who hereby profess God to be their Lord and owner, and themselves His subjects and tributaries, or to God who hereby takes occasion to remember them and to own them for His people. In other words, whether this memorial is for God to remember them or for them to remember God, while both of these could be commented on, I want to focus our attention on the fact that one reason we should give of the substance that we have to the Lord's work is due to the fact that He has been gracious and merciful in atoning for our sin. And we should give out of thankfulness to the remembrance, the memorial of His forgiveness of our sin. Spurgeon said, and I quote, a memorial of them testifying that the price was paid and a memorial to them of their great indebtedness to their Redeemer. This amount of silver was to remind them that they owed their lives to God because He redeemed them. And one man said, as did Israel in the wilderness, so ought believers today to bring their money for use in the house of God in recognition of the fact that they have been bought with a price and they are not their own. In other words, God's saying, I'm charging you something here. It's a half a shekel. It's nothing hardly, but this is what I demand. And when they came and brought it, they're saying, I recognize you deserve this. I recognize this is yours, and I recognize with this, you are my redeemer. You're my atoner. You're the one that I have forgiveness with. That'll change your giving if you'll let it, friends. Amen. Get this. I'm about done. Show me somebody who has a problem giving money to the work of God, and I show you somebody who is either not a believer or they have lost sight of the grace and mercy of God in their life. That's a fact. That's not up for debate. You show me somebody that says, I can't stand it. All they ever do is preach on giving. Well, if you've been here long, you know that's a lie anyway. Amen. But I will say this. You show me somebody who I'm talking about, they begrudge giving. I'm talking about giving to God. They begrudge it. They don't want to do it. They're either not in his family or they're thinking way too highly of themselves and forgotten that they were purged from their sin. No matter how much I give, I could never touch what he gave to me. And no matter how much we give, it's probably just a half a shekel compared to what he gives to us. The atonement money on display in these verses can teach us some great lessons. It reminds us of the price for sin that God demands. It reminds us that Jesus Christ has paid that sin debt. It reminds us that every individual must choose, and it's the same price. But along with that, it challenges our own giving back to the work of God. Those who've been atoned for should have no problem giving of their substance to the work of the house of God out of thanksgiving for all he's done for us. This is the atonement money. I hope you've got a little bit better grasp of it as a result of this message. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you tonight, and I pray you'll help us to be faithful to you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly here momentarily. This invitation is short, sweet. Here it is. Are and have you accepted the atonement that's found only in Jesus Christ? Are you blood-bought? Are you born again? Have you trusted the price that's been paid, that was demanded by God, fulfilled by Christ, and must be accepted by you? Have you made the choice to say yes to Jesus Christ? If you have not, come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But if tonight you're a Christian, and maybe most of you, maybe all of you are, how's your giving? I'm not asking, are you giving? I'm not even asking how much you're giving. I'm asking, how's your giving? You doing it cheerfully? You giving what God's told you to give? Or is it kind of begrudging to you? Does it hurt you instead of make a smile come to your face when you give? Are you cheerful about it? Have you lost sight of the atonement? Let's go ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you about your giving, or if he's speaking to you about your soul, I want to ask you and invite you to come, and we'll be happy to help you any way we can. As he sings, you come now.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
This way. She's just going to continue to play through if she doesn't mind. I'd like to ask you to find a partner there. If you're not opposed to that, if you are, you can just pray alone. That's no problem. We want to to take a few minutes here. I'm wanting to do this in preparation for our open house. I'm working on our Wednesday night prayer ministry. And the good Lord willing, after the big day, the good Lord willing, in October, we'll be breaking up into some other groups, the good Lord willing. I was planning on doing that before the big day, but then let's really sense the Lord just wants us to focus on the big day as a church family, just really praying about this. And I want to pray for our big day that the Lord will touch it, bless all of these invitations going out, give the altar workers wisdom, all these kind of things. I want to give you three requests, okay? And I would like for Summer, and I would like for Brent and Tracy, and if and Marty, if you all will come. This is Summer Scroggs' last service with us for a while. She'll be leaving tomorrow, is that correct? Heading to Pensacola to a Christian college to study nursing and missions. We're proud of her, and I appreciate this. And what we're going to do is end our prayer time tonight, and I will pray during that particular time. I'd like to have you all come and just have a seat up here as a family, and we'll conclude our prayer time around you and your family tonight. If your grandparents want to come with you, that would be fine, okay? Anybody associated with her, if you want to come, I'm talking about her family, just have a seat right here, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Scott Martin, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to have you start us up here, and I want to give you three requests. I want you, Brother Martin, to pray for the special day at Daniel Boone, okay? Secondly, I'm going to have Brother Steve Mullins. If you wouldn't mind, I'm going to have you come right after him and pray for open house, okay? Just however the Lord would lead there. And then I will come and we'll conclude our service tonight by praying over Summer. But I want, as somebody's praying here, I'm doing that for the benefit of those who are watching live stream so they can participate in this. So our three requests for tonight is the Bible Club at Boone Friday. Open house, may God touch down for His glory. And number three, Summer and her family, as she goes off to college, that the Lord will bless her. You pray for Boone, you pray for open house. If you're partnered up, I want us to bow our heads, close our eyes. Somebody lead there now. If you're praying alone, that's no problem. Somebody lead your group, and as they're praying here, Brother Steve, you can come right ahead as well. You go right ahead. Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for how wonderful you are to us. Lord, you've been so good to us. So thank you for the atonement. Thank you that I know I'm on the way to heaven. Lord, I thank you for these Truth Bible Clubs out at Boone and in the other schools in the area. Lord, I thank you for Brother Bob and what a great job he does. And Brother Joe's been out there, and Brother Ben and Brother Daniel and Miss Rebecca. And Lord, they're doing a fine job. And Lord, I thank you for how you've blessed out at Boone. I thank you that we have a good number come each Friday in the lunches. Lord, I pray you'd bless our big day. Bless the pizza. These youngsters will come to get some pizza, and we pray that they'll get a lot more than the pizza while we're there. Lord, Brother Bob is saying expected somewhere in the neighborhood of 160. Lord, I pray that you bring that and more, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will be there and speak to hearts, and pray that just an evident show up of the Holy Spirit. I pray for tomorrow as some of our teens and go out to Boone and put up pass out invitations. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless. Lord, I pray that there'll be folks in heaven as a result of our day at Friday at Daniel Boone. And Lord, may it be something that you've done, not something that we could do. That'd be a waste if we're doing anything, something that you and your Holy Spirit would bless. Lord, just give us a good day, and again, see folks saved on Friday. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for that atonement, that shed blood. God, we love you so. Lord, we pray for our open house that's coming up. I just pray, God, that you bless every facet of it. Pray that these invitations that are going out and are be handing out, that it'd find good ground, that we'd see people interested in coming and hearing the word preached. God, we just pray that you'd help us to be mindful, to invite people, to seek the lost. And Lord, on that day, I pray that there will be lost people here, that Dr. Comfort will have the liberty and the freedom to preach your word, that it'll touch hearts. Lord, your word is powerful and can change lives. And Lord, we want to see people saved. And we want to see that from these cards and from these visits, that we'll see many visits, many houses that we can knock on the doors and folks can go in and do the follow-up work, that through that people will be saved. God, we know the main thing here is souls being saved. But we just pray that our church will have a mind for salvation of souls. God, we just thank you for the wonderful fellowship that we have. Thank you for the wonderful preacher that we have, how he rightly divides the word and feeds our souls with your word. Lord, we just pray that, again, that you would touch this open house in a special way, that we'd see many, many people come to know you. God, again, I just praise your name for what you did on the cross, that wonderful atonement, that shed blood. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your many, many blessings. We just can't count them all, how you've blessed us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Our Father, as we continue in prayer, we thank you for the privilege of just being one of your children. We pray, our Lord, again, and echo these prayer requests for the Bible Club at Daniel Boone. We pray that you'll be at the invitations. Those that hear about the pizza, would you use it to draw them in? And I pray that many will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray, our Father, for this open house, that you will bless it and breathe upon it. The invitations, Dr. Comfort, the altar workers, may the word of God thunder forth. And may fruit that remains be evident that on that particular day. And Lord, we think especially now of her summer and her mom or dad or brother or grandparents. Thank you, Lord, that she has a heart to do something for God. And I pray that you help that to continue. As she goes down to Pensacola, I pray that you'll just sharpen her sword. We pray, Lord, that you'll help her to understand and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray as a result of this time there and her time here in this local church, as you're pricking her heart towards the mission field, we look forward to the day when her home church here helps send her off to tell people about Jesus Christ. Would you bless her now? Be with the emotions and everything involved. Would you give peace that passeth understanding? May your will be done in their lives. I pray. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Keep your hand upon this church, I pray. In Jesus' name. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. I'm going to ask the family to stay right there. And as we dismiss tonight, many of you will come by. Let her know you'll be praying for her. By the way, don't tell her you're praying for her unless you're going to pray for her, okay? And we're proud of you. And the Lord's going to use you in a great way. I've called down there. They're out of peanut butter and jelly. But other than that, you know, everything's going good, all right? Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer, shall we? Thank you for being here. Brother Mickey Archer, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice. And again, please come up, because this is our last service with us for a while. You do that. Sir, you go right ahead. Ms. Pendleton. I need to see you just a moment.